Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We are live right now for the purpose of allowing you to be a part of the broadcast, to pose your question, or seek direction for your real-life issue. So we invite your calls right now to 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ. It's Basic Gospel, and it intersects with your life every day. Call now, 1-800-677-9377. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thank you, Bob. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. Last week we talked about the Spirit-led life, and kind of raises a question, what in the world does that look like? If you're being led by the Spirit, how do you know? How are you going to be able to tell that the Spirit of God is actually doing something in you and you're bearing the fruit of His life? Well, the Apostle Paul doesn't leave us to try to figure that out on our own. He doesn't leave that to our imagination. He spells it out pretty clearly for us. And in Galatians chapter 6, he says this, but the fruit of the Spirit. So if you are being led by the Spirit, you're walking in the Spirit, you're abiding in the Spirit to do His work in and through you, then this is the fruit of that life. And it's a ninefold fruit. This word fruit is singular, and it has various aspects to it. And so he says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. There's no law that stands against any of those aspects of the fruit of the Spirit. The law is for us experiencing love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and all of those sort of things. So if you are abiding in Christ, if you are being led by the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, keeping in step with the Spirit, these are going to be the things that you're going to be seeing manifested in your life. Now, you're not the source of those things. You're not the one producing those things. You are simply bearing those things in your life. There's a great illustration in the Gospels. Jesus gave this illustration that really talks about how this life works in practical terms.
Yeah, famous passage, John 15. I'm going to read verses 4 and 5. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing.
Very simple explanation. Mm-hmm. I mean, and that's the genius of Jesus in his teaching as he was here. He just took common things in everyday life and he imparted spiritual truth on those things. He used them to turn our eyes toward what real life is all about. So he's the vine. Mm-hmm. He's the source of life. He's the one that brings, you know, all good things to us. We're the branch. We abide in the vine. We're going to bear the life of the vine in and through us. It's just as simple as that. What does that look like? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control.
That's the key, is the Galatians passage. Because when I was raised and living in those dark times of legalism, bearing fruit meant You brought a whole bunch of people to Jesus, even if they didn't want to be. You had to drag them kicking and screaming. And you never made a mistake. And you go through this whole list of things, and nobody ever talked about love, joy, peace, patience, and the others.
Right. That's what the life of Christ looks like.
Yes.
And that's what he wants to manifest through you. How does it happen? Simply by abiding in the vine. Paul calls that walking by the Spirit. That's why the Holy Spirit is so important to us. Yeah. That's why we really need to come to grips with what His role is in and through us as we walk by faith.
And that's what Basic Gospel looks like. And you can join the conversation right now. We'd love for you to do that at 1-800-677-9377. Go to the U.S. and Canada, 1-800-677-9377. We're on the air live so that you can participate. So give us a call. I want you to be a part of it. 1-800-677-9377.
Thanks, Bob. We're going to go to Richmond, California, and talk with D.C. listening to us on KDIA. Hi, D.C.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing fantastic. What's on your mind today?
How's Bob George?
Well, he's he suffered a stroke a number of years ago and just kind of been sidelined ever since.
Wow. Okay. Well, God bless him.
Yeah, well, thank you for that.
I had a question about the Antichrist. When he comes down and rules the earth, is there going to be any type of violent activities going on while he's ruling?
Well, I mean, he wants to war against the Lord. I mean, he wants to usurp his authority. He wants to knock God off his throne so he can take over. And that's just how much he's deceived. He thinks he can win that battle. But yeah, he's going to try to do that. That's some of the things that we see in the book of Revelation. Why do you ask this, DC? What's on your mind there?
How they say it's supposed to be 3.5 years of peace.
Kind of the calm before the storm, so to speak.
Well, after 3.5 years, he's supposed to sit on the throne and say, God, I'm God, worship me. I was wondering, for the first 3.5 years, when he first gets down here, is it going to be peace all around the earth with no violent activities?
I don't know, D.C. I think there's the promise of peace, and I think that's what's going to draw people to Antichrist. I think anybody that comes onto the political scene and says, hey, I have a plan to bring peace to the world, I think it's going to pique people's curiosity and their interest. I think he's going to be pretty persuasive in presenting his plan. I think that's going to draw people to him, but I don't know that that's going to mean that there's going to be actual peace here. I think we can just speculate on that. I'm sure there will be a time of peace, a time of calmness, and I think people are going to get deceived by that. They're going to get deceived in thinking everything's okay and forget about the coming judgment of the Lord. That's what will be up ahead, the fact that Christ is coming in judgment, and he is going to bring his swift judgment at that particular time. And I think that period of peace is going to lull people to sleep, so to speak.
Thank you.
Does that help?
You guys, I love you. I listen to you every day.
Well,
God bless you.
We appreciate that, D.C. That means so much to us, and thanks for, tuning in and being connected with us, and thank you for letting us be connected with you, and hopefully we'll get out to San Francisco here fairly soon and have some type of event. We would love to.
Okay. Thank you, guys.
Hey, thanks for your call.
Yes, indeed. And, friends, you can be a part of the broadcast just like D.C. was. 1-800-677-9377. Want to hear from you. Want you to be a part of the conversation. Again, the toll-free number, 1-800-677-9377. Guys, it is conference week already. Can you believe it?
I can't believe it, but just it starts Thursday evening at 6 o'clock. We've got folks from many states coming in to be a part of this conference. I'm just pumped. I mean, I am really pumped. I started thinking about all the details of the conference, some of the messages, some of the things that I'm going to be teaching, what John Lynch is going to be teaching, what Andrew Farley is going to bring to the table, the music, just the opportunity to meet with so many people, eat together, just to enjoy some fellowship. This is just going to be a fantastic time. Starting Thursday evening and going all the way to Saturday afternoon.
I just don't understand what's going to happen when Lynch and Farley get together.
same place, same time.
Firecrackers are going to go off.
We're going to have to separate them. There is no doubt.
Yeah, it's going to be a great time. But again, as Bob said, registration begins at 6 o'clock this Thursday. And if you can't see your way clear to get registered in advance, well, you can walk up to the door, and we will welcome you just the same. So you can go online and get the information to do that at stand2014.com. That's stand2014.com. But by golly, it's going to be this Thursday. Finding Solid Footing at a Broken World, the Stand 2014 conference with Bob Christopher, Andrew Farley, and John Lynch.
Yes, indeed. So come join us. We would love to meet you there.
Yes, indeed. Guys, a question from Carl, and this one gets right to the heart of things. It says, what does it mean that perfect love casts away fear?
Well, I think that's a wonderful question to ask because, you know, just looking at that aspect of the verse, we're kind of left to our own understanding to figure out what that means. Perfect love casts out all fear. The Apostle John was very quick to attach that fear to something, and he says this, perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. What are we afraid of? Ultimately, we're afraid of the punishment of God. We've sinned. We've fallen short of the glory of God. We have evil thoughts. We have evil intentions. Our hearts are inclined toward the things of this world, not toward the things of God. And as a result of that, we're fearful. We're fearful of God's punishment. We see that right at the beginning of the story. When Adam and Eve ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, God told them not to do that. They died the moment that they did. They didn't die physically. They died spiritually. And fear entered their hearts. And when God came to meet with them in the cool of the morning, as Moses wrote in that story in Genesis 3, they hid from God. And finally, they peeked out from behind the bushes or whatever, and they had this conversation with God, and he said, why did you hide yourself? He said, because we discovered that we were naked and we were afraid. That fear had entered their hearts. Why? Because they were fearful that God was going to punish them. Well, that fear has been passed on to every single human being. We come into this world fearful of God's punishment. That's why the cross of Christ is so vitally important. Why? Because at the cross of Christ, we see the love of God fully demonstrated toward us. God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. So because we're sinners, we naturally looked at God through that lens of fear. We looked at him as a judge. We looked at him as a punishing God. That veil is lifted at the cross, and there we can see that God actually loves us. And the way he demonstrated that love was that he sent Jesus to take our punishment for us. So the punishment for our sins was laid upon Jesus. He was the one that took it for us. When we recognize that demonstration of love, it does something to that fear inside. It drives it away. It casts it away. That's a great word, isn't it, Richard? The word to drive or to cast. It's to just throw it off you.
Yeah, I mean, it's like fear is almost like an animal. You know, it's infusing you, it's attacking you, and the love of God drives it away like it just wasn't there.
Yeah.
You know, it just removes it. And that's an amazing thing.
So what I tell folks who are struggling with fear, it's time to go right back to the foot of the cross. The ground at the foot of the cross is drenched with the love of God. And if you will stand there and recognize that Jesus Christ took your punishment, if you will recognize that he took your sins away from you, he redirected the wrath of God away from you toward himself, and that in so doing, God received his sacrifice and said, I'm satisfied. If you will rest in that truth, embrace that truth, fully believe that your sins have been dealt with once and for all, you will see that fear being driven away from you. This love of God is not a feeling. It is an active, powerful force working in our lives to enable us to know God personally. Yeah. And to experience that relationship that he created us to experience.
And as you said in your book, love is a verb.
It's
an
it is.
Active thing. 1-800-677-9377. Open lines and time on the clock. 1-800-677-9377.
Let's go to New York and talk to Nana listening to us on WMCA. Did I say that correct?
377.
WMCA?
Nana listening to us on WMCA.
Well, let me put you on hold, and our operator will pick up with you, and we can get that phone line situation corrected so yeah. we can actually have a conversation.
Yeah. In the meantime, a question from Susanna. This is sermon to passage Matthew 15:21-28. She says she's confused about the story of Jesus and the Canaanite woman. Says at first it sounds like he's being mean to her. And when he said it's not fair to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs, then a couple of lines later he says, "Great is your faith," and he healed her daughter. But at first it seems an insult to her. Why? What's this confusion about?
Well, I think he's just jumping on kind of the common perception that the Jews had of Gentiles. They basically called them dogs. And what she was conveying to Jesus is that even, you know, under that perception, she still wanted to receive of him. And he recognized the faith and rewarded her accordingly. So that's all that story is really talking about. And I think if we, you know, could read it in the Greek language, it would probably make more sense to us. Sometimes when it's translated into English, it doesn't come over quite as smoothly as we want it to, and sometimes it looks like he's being rather harsh, but I don't think that's the case at all.
He was really pointing out the disciples' lack of faith.
Yeah, absolutely.
In contrast with her pure faith. So
that's what that's all about, and she was rewarded and was made whole through her faith in Jesus Christ. And I think with that as well, we understand that God's heart is toward all people. It's not just toward the Jew. It was to the Jew and to the Gentile. I think that was the subtle message that he was delivering to his followers, those who were Jewish by birth, that this gospel wasn't just for them. They were to be the conduit of the blessing. But the blessing was for all people. And that's one of the great truths that we read about through these gospel accounts.
Yes, indeed. Well, it looks like Nana may be back on the line. Let's try her one more time.
Yeah, Nana, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, he's there. Okay.
Welcome. How can we help you today?
Yeah, I was just listening in, and I want to contribute about the gay issue that is going on now.
Okay, did you have a question about that?
Yeah, I just want to make a contribution about it. Because I really don't know why all government institutions are now promoting it. Because if our constitution tells us about that, we believe in the Bible, and if we can go back into the Bible doesn't promote that. So why is it that all the institutions are promoting lesbian and gay issues?
Is this what's happening politically and in our culture? That's why. I think folks are being pressured to try to make it acceptable within our society. I think that's what's happening today. And if you say anything contrary, you're criticized for that. Again, that's part of the political correctness that prevails and rules and reigns in America today. We can't have honest conversations. We can't talk sensibly one with another and really kind of get underneath the issue and try to figure out what's really going on there. But I think that's why it's so front and center in our culture today because folks are pressuring people to bring it front and center, and they're giving into that particular pressure.
Because when we look at Genesis, whereby the angels who visited Sodom and Gomorrah, the Bible said it was about this same gay and lesbian issues. That's why God was annoyed with them and wanted to destroy the place. And even when the angels entered into Lot's house,
Let me do this. We're having a little trouble with your phone line and really hearing what you're saying there. But the whole thing, this is such an important truth for us to really grab hold of. You know, we look and say, you know, God brought judgment because of these particular actions. Well, the story of the Bible directs us to a different cause. And that cause is idolatry. You know, that's the number one commandment. We should have no other gods before the one true God. Well, what's the story of the world? What's the story of man? Wandering away from the one true God and bowing down in worship to gods of our own imagination, gods that we drum up, that we dream up, and we invest power into. That's the whole story. So when we do that, that's going to lead to all types of sinful activities. But the root of that is unbelief. That's what God is trying to get us to see from Genesis to Revelation. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. God sent the Spirit into the world to convict the world wrong about sin, righteousness and judgment, about sin because we do not believe in Jesus Christ. That's the issue. And that's what we need to really hone in on as far as our communication of the gospel. God sent Jesus. He took away sins. He condemned sin and sinful man. As a result, God is not counting sins against us. And the reason he's not is because he wants us to see what the real problem is, and that's unbelief in him. When we come to faith in Jesus Christ, God sends his Spirit to live inside of us, and he begins to lead us and guide us into all truth. So the issue from our vantage point is the fact that people are dead spiritually and that they need life. There's the problem of unbelief that's corrected through belief in Jesus Christ. Well, thanks for calling. We certainly appreciate your contribution on today's broadcast. We really do. Hard to believe we're almost out of time on today's broadcast. This just absolutely flew. We certainly are excited about what's coming up Thursday night, Stand 2014, helping people find solid footing in a broken world. It is going to be a fabulous event, and we are so pleased that so many of our listeners from around the country are coming to join us for this fabulous three-day conference. They're going to be so thrilled with Andrew Farley, with John Lynch, with Frank Reed, as they tell their stories and share what God has placed on their hearts. And I think anybody who comes is going to walk away blessed. I think many people will look at this as a life-changing event for them. It will change the trajectory of their relationship with the Lord.
Absolutely. And as Bob said, we're only 3 days away. Stand 2014, Finding Solid Footing in a Broken World. John Lynch, Andrew Farley, Bob Christopher, all the information is available at stand2014.com. Still plenty of room for you to come and be a part of it. And so as long as everybody that comes will get a chair, we can assure you of that. So we encourage you to be a part of it. It's going to be a great time. And as Bob said earlier, it's going to be some fireworks as Bob Christopher, Andrew Farley, and John Lynch get together to proclaim one message. It's going to be a great thing. Stand2014.com, all the information right there. Also, this month we've been focusing on the issue of spiritual gifts. There's been a lot of confusion about it since the day of Pentecost. But Bob Christopher has addressed the issues of this controversial topic in a CD called About Spiritual Gifts. And a copy can be yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel this month. Make your gift and request your copy. Phone 1-800-727-2828. That's 1-800-727-2828. Or go online to basicgospel.net. Well, thanks for joining us today, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel.